I believe that God, He loves to, He is. First, He is. He is. He is. He always is. He was, He is, He always will be, He is. He's here, He's God, He's present. He is who He said He is. He's always going to be what He said He'll be. He's God our Father. He's God the eternal God. He's God that's with us. We're thankful for that, that He is the God that He is. But He is also the God that does. Amen. Amen. Don't you believe that? That God does things. That's really why He gave us His word, is so He could tell us what He's going to do. Yeah. His word tells who He is so He can say what He's going to do. Like, I am the Lord God that heals you. I'm the healer. I'm going to heal you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what God said He's going to do. He's going to heal us. Or He's God the restorer. He's the restorer of my soul. If I got anything in my soul that's out of whack, come on. We used to call it, where I came from, we used to call it wanker jawed. You got anything in you that's wanker jawed? Come on. God is the restorer. He can sew it all up, fix it all up, straighten it all up, make it all whole again. He can make our heart whole again. He can make our mind whole again. He can make our emotions, come on, our emotions. He can make our past whole again. Praise the Lord. God is in the business of doing things, and He's in the business. He's still in the same business. I love that. We can count on Him. He's never changed. He's the God that changes not. He never changes. Come on, we can count on Him. He'll do what He said He'll do because He is who He is. And He changes not. And so I believe that He is the God that does good things. Come on, He's the God that does great things. He's the God that does mighty things. He's the God that does things that really our heart haven't even grasped yet. It's just like we're stuck in just a small little measure of what we know of God, but He's just the God of so much bigger and so much more. We know there's still more to come, right? The best is yet to come. The best. When I write that, I want to write best in capital letters. I believe that, the best is yet to come, but it is to come. And so we do have to just not put it like way out there. The best is yet to come means we have our hope attached to some good things, a good life. Come on, no matter how long you've been at this, no matter what your life is like, no matter what you've been through, come on, no matter what you've seen, all the wondrous things that you've seen, there's still the best is yet to come. The best is in front of us. The best is coming, and it's coming. I said it's coming. Praise the Lord, it's coming. Hallelujah. And so recently, a couple of weeks ago, I started preaching on the fire of God. The fire of God. I'm after the fire of God. Come on, anything that God says He is, anything that God says we can have, anything that God says He will be in us or for us or to us, I want it. I want it. And so I'm wanting the fire. I'm wanting more fire. I'm wanting bigger fire. I'm wanting hotter fire. Come on, I'm wanting brighter fire. Come on, we got to love the fire because that's partly who God is. And so we're going to just, you know, over the next, I don't know, you know, last week I thought I was going to preach on the fire, and God just decided, I didn't say get to the fire, did we? Except the fire was burning in me. The fire was burning in me, like still burning. I still got a fire burning in me. That's one thing I love about God. He is. And He's God through the Word. And He's God through the Spirit. And I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. How it's changed our life, the Word of God. How we love the Word. And we love the Spirit. And I love that in this dispensation that we live in, the Spirit works with the Word. It's the Spirit and the Word that go together. And so while we're hearing the Word, while we're reading the Word, seeing the Word, the Word, it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's causing things to happen in me. It's causing things to happen for me. It's changing me. It's changing me. Why? Because as I behold the Word, I'm beholding Jesus. I'm beholding God made in the flesh, the Word made flesh, Jesus. I'm beholding Him. And the Bible says that it's as I behold Him that I'm changed from glory. Now listen to this. We think change. No, change from glory to glory. Come on, as we hear the word and read the word and see the word, we're being changed on the inside to look more like the Lord, to be more like the Lord, to reflect more of the Lord, to be. He did say he's coming back for a glorious church. Come on, we're getting ready. We're getting made ready. We're getting perfected. It's like the day of the preparation. Come on, maybe the guys won't understand this real well, but the girls will understand it perfectly. You know, all the preparation, come on, that goes into the wedding. You know, there's more preparation that goes into the wedding than the wedding itself. We're being made ready. Come on, we're being made ready for the King. We're being made ready by being made glorious. We're a glorious people, and we're being made more glorious. Hallelujah. 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 So we'll just go, you know, our goal here is always just to go with the flow. Just to go with the flow or whatever. I'm not in a rush. I don't have to preach. I could just lay on the floor, really, under the presence of God, and it would be plenty fine for me. You know, I've had that happen before. I was at a meeting one time overseas, and I don't remember what. We were. It was one of those times, you know, where things were building. That's what I love about sometimes when we get to have extra meetings. Come on, when we have extra meetings, when we have a night meeting, you need to come because the night should be building from the morning. And so I was overseas, and I was at doing a conference, and we'd had several, I think it was, wow, where was it in the conference? I know we'd done Friday night, but I think it was Saturday morning. I mean, we were already in. I mean, we were in the river. I mean, we were flowing. We were going. Things were happening. And I was preaching, and I mean, wow. And I just, the presence of the Lord got so thick in that place. I mean, so thick. I remember I was watching across the thing, and like from across the way, and there was a lady, and she was supposed to be, I think, working, you know, technically. So she was standing up, kind of watching it, and she was leaning at the thing, and all of a sudden she just slid down the wall. I'm like, oh, there went another one. Oh, there went, and that just all over. And before you know it, I went out in the spirit. I mean, I went out. I went the preacher. You know, I don't know if it's just me. Maybe I like to think this. But I've been in a lot of places where people are not used to the Holy Spirit, or maybe they've not seen, or they're not used to yielding, or they don't really know yet how to respond. And so sometimes it's just like me and the Holy Ghost. It's just like me and the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, the Lord just told me a long time ago, he said, I just want you to set yourself on fire and let you let them watch you burn. He literally told me that. And so I started recognizing that if I didn't get in, it was more difficult for them to get in. And so I've always appreciated that about preachers that can stand here and the Spirit gets moving. And they're kind of, you know, and I know it's their faith and they're maintaining the atmosphere, but they're able. But sometimes I just get so locked in. I'm like, what just happened? So in this particular meeting, I went out in the Spirit on the floor. And I was out for like 10 minutes. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in the room. Nobody knew what happened there because everybody. We can believe for that. Everybody can yield and get under the influence. Everybody can get under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And so I know I've told y'all before, but I'm serious when I said I lost my dignity. Like, if I ever had any, maybe. But I lost it a long time ago. For me, when I met the Holy Spirit, I knew God. I was saved. But I was just so hungry for God when I met the Holy Spirit. You know, when I recognized that we're always thinking of God and we're thinking of how we want to get to God, how we would love to go to heaven. Mike's been to heaven. I don't mind going to heaven. But, you know, sometimes we have this false sense of thinking that it's all about us getting to heaven if we could just get to heaven. Well, sure, heaven is a wonderful place, but I'm talking about in relation to God. But really, God, he's wanted to live with me and be with me always, forever, really for all his people. You know, in the beginning when he created Adam and Eve, he walked with them in the cool of the garden. They weren't in heaven. They didn't need to be in the physical place of heaven. It was heaven on earth, and God would visit them in the earth. It was special. That's where God wanted. He wanted to be with his people, to have a life with them. And then we know, you know, man messed up. Adam and Eve sinned, and that kind of removed God. But God still wanted so much to be with us that he created a way, even though it was a very limited way, but it was a way for him, at least his presence, to be in the ark, in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it was very limited. People, you know, people didn't really have free access to it. But God, we sang that song Sunday, that he didn't want a heaven without us. Remember that song? That he didn't want heaven. He's never created heaven to be far from us. He's never created heaven to be where he could be there and we could be longing for him. He created us to be with us, to live with us. And so then he worked very hard to get Jesus, God himself, out of heaven into the earth so that we could experience and actually have his presence here in the earth. And I'm so thankful for Jesus that he walked the earth. I mean, what that would have been like, right? To sit at the master's feet, to hear his voice. How precious that would have been. But then Jesus came not as the ultimate. He came as the ultimate sacrifice to pay the price for you and I. Why? Because God wanted us. Because God wanted to live with us. Because God wanted to be with us. Because it wasn't good enough to have God in heaven and us down here. Amen. And so Jesus came with the purpose of making a place for the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God could come out, the restriction of the Spirit of God in that Ark of the Covenant could come out and be poured out upon the people to come and live in our heart. I'm so happy and thankful that we live in this dispensation. Listen, we're not lacking anything. This was the plan all along. Is that the Spirit of God himself would be poured out to live in our hearts so that we could have a daily life with him. Yes, I can hear his voice. I don't have to sit physically at his feet. I can sit spiritually at his feet. I can hear the voice of the Lord. I can commune with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's this wonderful life that we've been given in the Spirit. For me, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I found the fuller measure of a life with God, it just changed everything. It just changed everything. And every day I get up, I'm thankful as a reminder to myself for what I have. I'm thankful that I didn't live in the days of the old covenant. I'm thankful for all the people that went before us, paved the way, did what they had to do. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I live now where I can live daily. I don't have to even wait for the Spirit to come upon me at a special time to see something or know something of God. I don't have to pine away in my heart like David, just wanting God more fully. I have him. I have all of him. You have all of him. We have the very essence, the very nature, the very character, all that God is living on the inside of us. We get a daily life. We can wake up with him. We can go to bed with him. We can wake up in the middle of the night with him. We can drive in the car with him. We can take a bath with him. Everything we do, we can do it with the Holy Spirit. What a life. That's what keeps me getting up in the morning. It's what keeps me going. It's what keeps me coming to church. He is my holy guest. I do want to remind you of that. He is the holy guest that lives in us. So he goes where you go. So you make sure you're going where he wants to be. He has to sit while you do what you do, while you say what you say, while you watch what you watch and listen to what you listen to. Make sure you're listening and watching and doing and saying what your holy guest would want part in. This is the life with God. It's a wonderful life. How do we do that? How do we do that? Because he's living in us. Because there's a work of the Spirit in us. Because there is a fire in us. There's a fire in us that keeps us hot and passionate for God. There's a fire in us that keeps us committed and ever going after him. Listen, something you need to learn about the preacher, if you haven't already figured this out, this will really help you, is that first, we're believers just like you. And really, we have an extra measure of God that's put on us really to preach, to teach, to help you experience the kingdom. But in my daily life, it's the same as you. I don't walk around with the office of the prophet. I'm a prophet always, but I don't walk around with that the anointing of that office everywhere I go, so that it makes me want to read my Bible more than you do, or it makes me want to pray more than you do, or it makes me want to be holy more than you. That's not true. We all have the same spirit in us. And this is just, it's just a wonderful life that God wanted. This is what he wanted all along. I'm not waiting on something better. I know the millennial reign will be wonderful, but you know what? My earth life might not make it till the millennial reign. The millennial reign may come after me coming down out of heaven on the horse in my white clothes. Glory to God. But I'm going to maximize what I have now, and I'm not going to be feeling like I'm pining away for something. Why? Because we have God, because we have the Holy Spirit, because we have everything that we need in this life with God. And that's enough to satisfy me. The Holy Spirit, wow. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's real. He's present. He's at work in our lives. You know, the cry of our heart ought to be every day more and more, Lord, show me, just Lord, help me to open up to the Holy Spirit more and more. Lord, just help me yield to the Holy Spirit more and more. Lord, just help me surrender more of my life. Give access. Lord, just help me really live and move and have my being in the Holy Spirit. That's what really true humility is. Humility is not groveling and acting like we're nothing before the Lord. Humility is having a total dependency on God in your life. Realizing that really in and of ourselves, we are nothing, can do nothing. So we're after the Holy Spirit with everything that we have. I remember Brother Hagin, one year before a camp meeting, he had a visitation of the Lord. And I think it was that the Lord visited with him for about 3 hours. And the Lord was showing him some things and telling him some things. He had been praying into some things. You know, we need to be praying into some things for the body of Christ, into some things for the kingdom of God, more than just your life, more than just your family. How about believing just together? I'm talking about fasting. I'm talking about setting aside time where we're just pouring our heart out to the Lord for something, for what God would have us pray for. And he had been praying into some things, and the Lord appeared and spoke to him for about 3 hours. And one of the things, I think after the meeting, somebody asked him, Brother Hagin was talking about with the Lord some things about this life in the Spirit of God. And somebody asked him, they said, if you could say what coming out of this 3-hour meeting with the Lord, if you could say what you learned that was most important, what would that be? And Brother Hagin said, oh, that's easy. He said it would be the necessity of living in the Spirit. Living in the Holy Spirit. I mean, everywhere we go, everything we do, we wake up with him. We live with him. When we eat, he's there. When we work, he's there. When we parent our children, he's there. When we need to make a decision, he's there. The necessity of living in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I love this Spirit-filled life, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be in a church that loves the Spirit of God. You know, there are still places today, there are still wrong doctrines that say that things of the Spirit have passed away, that speaking in tongues is not for today. But man, speaking in tongues, it's like a lifeline. It's like an instant to grab onto the hem of Jesus. It's like an instant, God, you're there. Why? Because when we speak in tongues, it's not something that we do. It's not something that we can articulate. It comes straight. It is an evidence. And although we don't want to get caught in up in outward evidences, because this whole life in the Spirit is really about, as Pastor calls it, going inward and learning to live inward with the Spirit. But there is an evidence. And sometimes, you know, you just need an evidence. You just need a reminder. Come on. Surely I'm not the only one that ever gets there. We're like, I need something so real of God. I need a fresh touch. I need to know that God is hearing me. I know, but just tongues, it's like the minute it comes out, it's, God is here. God is with me. God is right here. I mean, he's right here. How else could that come? Supernatural utterance. We shouldn't deny it. We shouldn't live taking it lightly. It's life changing. This life with the Holy Spirit is life changing. I mean, again, like I said, I got saved when I was a young girl and just tried my best to do as best I could. But boy, if you would have looked at my life, even going to church, even reading my Bible, but if you would have looked at my life, there's a lot of me that would have looked a lot like the world. And I would lay down at night and I would say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for this and this and this and this. The list would go on and this would go on. Oh, please, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please help me get better. And the next day I would get up and here I'd go over again, loving God. Still the same. But when the Holy Ghost came, wow. I mean, God really began to get a hold of my life. Change me. Change me from glory to glory. So we want to live in the light of that. We want to take full advantage of that. If there are things that tongues, and the message tonight is not about tongues. This is all a warm-up. But if the Bible says that when we speak in tongues that we build ourselves up. Amen. How many of you know that there's things in life today trying to tear you down? Amen. Come on, there's things all around you from the devil himself and all of his cohorts to just the troubles and the trials and the tribulations of a fallen world. Everywhere we go, there's things trying to tear us down. But God himself said that if we'll just pray in this unknown heavenly tongue, that we'll build ourselves up, that we'll be made stronger, that we'll be bigger. Come on, that life will come. If we'll just pray in the Holy Spirit in tongues, we'll be built up in our most holy faith. Oh, hey, we're just working to live in faith. We're just working to exercise our faith to grow. God's talking about building us up in our most holy faith. Amen. And keep us in the love of God. Woo! There's a challenge to walk in the love of God every single day at all times and all situations. Woo, it's a challenge. We can't do it without tongues because the Bible says that when we speak in tongues, come on, it keeps us in the love of God. There's something happening when we're speaking in tongues that's washing us, cleansing us, building us up, making our spirit stronger, putting our flesh down so that we can walk in love. Why? Because God is love. Because we're Christians. We're like Christ. Jesus came in the image of God and the reflection of God. He walked in love. We're to be like him. We're to imitate God the Father. God is love. We're to be like Jesus. Can't do that without tongues. Can't do that without really digging into. It's so amazing because to me, everything really in the spirit-filled life probably truly hinges on tongues. Is anybody getting mad at me? It hinges on tongues. I believe that that's why when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the real evidence. The Bible says you are not filled with baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you speak with tongues. I'm just repeating the Bible. So when we get filled, we speak in tongues. It's the first evidence. So really everything in your spiritual life hinges on you understanding the value and the need of speaking in tongues. And that you don't just do it. Yes, you can do it when you need to run to God and find something, but you ought to do it before you need to run to God and find something. Because then you might not need to run to God and find something. I mean, why wait till you get way, 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 way down in the pit? Why wait till you get way, 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 way down there? And you feel like you're having to crawl out. If you just pray in tongues, oh, I just sidestepped that little ditch right there. Didn't even go in. Didn't even go in, or just my foot up. No, I prayed in tongues this morning. I was prepared for that. Praise the Lord. This speaking in tongues, it's like they're really aren't. It's just amazing. Because, you know, when you speak in tongues, the Bible says it's like words that can't be articulated. But when you try to describe speaking in tongues, or the power that's in it, or the blessing that's in it, or the privilege that's in it, or the results that's in it, it's like, wow, there really aren't words to adequately describe. And so I'm thankful for tongues. I'm thankful that the Bible says that when I speak in tongues, there's a refreshing that comes. How many of you recognize that there's something of the world today that tries to wear you out? Come on, make you feel worn out and tired. And preach it, Pastor Joni. But the Bible says that when we speak in tongues, a refreshing comes. If you're sitting there thinking, you know, I haven't experienced that, I haven't felt refreshed lately, then you haven't been speaking in tongues enough. Sometimes it takes more than 5 minutes. Seriously. Sometimes it takes more than 10 minutes. Sometimes it might take 15, but oh, the benefits of it. Oh, the glory of it. Oh, the results of it. I mean, we can do it anywhere at all times. I mean, you can do it at work underneath your breath as you're sitting at your desk. You can do it everywhere, but there are times when you need to get in a place. Come on, you need to set aside a place, a time. You're like, oh, this is my God space. And I'm just going to get in here and I'm going to speak in tongues. Because the Bible says when you speak in tongues that you not only build yourself up on your most holy faith and keep yourself in the love of God, and that you not only get a refreshing, but the Bible says that you pray out divine secrets and mysteries. How many of you have recognized that, first of all, that God has a plan for your life, and you don't know the full plan. You don't know everything about it and all the steps to it. You haven't figured that all out. Guess where that's all at? It's in the Spirit. And the way that we access it, the way that it becomes available, the way that it makes the light, the way that it hits our heart, aha, and we have a aha moment about something, is because we've prayed it out in tongues. How many of you have recognized that you don't always know? You don't always know something. You don't always know what the next step is. You don't always know what the direction is. You don't know how God wants to guide or lead in this situation. You know what? It's found in tongues. It's found in tongues. If we'll just pray in tongues, speak in tongues. We ought to try that sometime. Of course, we'd have to have a believers meeting, so that nobody that didn't, you know, really want the Holy Ghost or didn't understand what we're talking about was there. But, you know, maybe we just need to have a meeting sometime where, like, the minute that you cross the door, there's nothing but tongues. Nothing but tongues. Just everybody come in tongues. You know, because there's something about gathering together. That's why the devil fights us on it so hard. Thinking that we can sit at home and we can do it. Well, the body of Christ was not built like that. We were made for assembly. Amen. We were made for assembly. And so to get the maximum fullness of what God is doing with us and for us and through us, we have to assemble. And sometimes, you know, when you come here, it's like, okay, no, you're like right here and I'm looking at you. Why don't you be on that phone? Don't you be going to the restroom. You're going to miss the most important part. Oh, yeah, they can hear it in there. Okay, well, still. We put it now everywhere. When you go to the restroom, you're still going to hear it. You go outside, you're still going to hear it. You go on the hallway, you're still going to hear it. You're not escaping it. But there is something about sitting and focusing. I mean, let's just be honest. If you were at home from 7 o'clock till 8:30, to sit for that hour and do nothing but what we do in here, it's challenging. Because something happens. If nothing else, the dog vomits. Something random that you are totally unprepared for. if we were to come like in here and just for like an hour and a half do nothing but speak in tongues, nothing but pray in tongues. I tell you what would happen when you left after that hour and a half, you'd be like, I have been changed from glory to glory. I mean, you'd walk out of here with your shoulders back, where are the devils? I'm looking for them. And hopefully they wouldn't be in you. You know, we did that one time, kind of as a different, but we did that time we got together and made the tongues of fire. We got to about 60 of us, about 60 people showed up. And we just started, we all got around the microphone just speaking in tongues consistently. Just speaking in tongues, you know. And we have it on the recording, and I listen to that thing all the time because when I hear it, when I hear that speaking in tongues, when I hear us together, first of all, one thing I love about this is so supernatural. I'm right in the middle of speaking in tongues, and I'm using it as it's a stirring of myself to hear what's going on, and then I'll hear somebody particularly, like God will highlight a voice, and I'll know who that is praying in tongues. We all prayed together, but we would have people step up at times and be closer to the microphone. And so here I am, all of a sudden, I'm praying, and I hear Kristen. And it's the wildest thing. It's like in that moment, this happened just 2 weeks ago with her. In that moment, it's like I'm connected with her. In the spirit, we're connected. Amen. And we're praying. Amen. It's like her tongue at that moment is like, in the moment. You do know that our words are eternal. You know, even if you just look at sound waves, when you speak, they say that every sound that we put out on the earth lives for like 50 years somewhere in the dimension of sound. When we speak in tongues, it's supernatural, it's eternal. And it's like I'm praying in tongues, and I mean like we're in it in the moment. This has not happened just one time. This happens to me all the time. There's something so powerful about us praying in tongues. We do it on our own, yes, but we need to come together sometimes, I think, and pray in tongues. That's why if you come to the prayer meetings a lot, they'll spend some time praying in tongues usually. All kind of things are happening when we're praying in tongues. Why? Because it's a manifestation of the Spirit of God in this dispensation. I'm so glad. I just want to say I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I live now, that I didn't live in the Old Testament, that I didn't even leave. I'm serious. I would rather live in this dispensation. Okay, now maybe the people that walked with Jesus and saw him depart and then got to experience that you know, that they might have, I might would have tried, I don't know, hot, dusty roads. This is wonderful what we have. We need to value it. We need to honor it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for who God is in us, what God has given to us through the Spirit. So let's talk about the fire a little bit. We don't have much time, but we got next week, right? And the week after that, and the week after that. Because, you know, one thing I never like to do is I never like to rush the Holy Spirit. Amen. I never like to come in and think, okay, God, you know, even though God gave me the message I have on fire came straight from heaven. Yeah. Stuff I haven't even preached before. So I'm real excited about it. I've been preparing what I thought I was going to preach tonight. I was already prepared to preach it last week. I was already like, God, we got it. But it's always more important what God wants to do. And that's the benefit of being in a Spirit-filled church that loves the Holy Spirit and wants the Holy Spirit to move. Because as Mark Hankin says, the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes. He can do more in 5 minutes than you can do or that I could do in hours or weeks or months. He can do more. Your life can be changed in 5 minutes. Your life can be revolutionized. Just one moment in the Holy Spirit. Just one word, just one revelation, just one touch can change everything in that moment. And then you can live off of that for the next however many years. I'm still living off the moment. Thank you, Lord. I'm still living off the moment that I met the Holy Spirit and went down on the floor. I'm still living off the moment of knowing when I came up off that floor that I was different, that something had changed in me. I'm still living off the reality that no more did I have to lay down every night and just name off all the things that I repeatedly kept doing, but I could get up and say, oh no, I've got the power of the Holy Ghost in me, and I can change, and I can be rearranged, and I can be fixed, and I can be made more like God. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And I just want to tell you, by the Spirit of the Lord tonight, this may not sound like it's a really big deal, but I know that it's from the Spirit of the Lord. So I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this like you've never heard this before. It's time to step it up in praying in tongues. It's time to step it up. It's time to give yourself more over into it. It's time to increase your frequency of it. It's time, by the Spirit of the Lord, it's time to increase your duration. Some of you need to pray more often. Just find something with the Lord that sits your heart. Maybe it's just I wake up tomorrow and say, just three times I'm gonna depart for just a moment at least and pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't relegate it to just doing it a few minutes in the morning or a few minutes at night. Find a time. Find a trigger. Every time I'm riding in the car, I'm going to spend a few minutes praying in the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to step it up in your frequency. There are things of the Lord that are waiting for you. There are things that have been ordained. There are things that have been orchestrated. They're waiting for you to lay hold of, to take access, and it's going to come through tongues. And then there's some of you that need to increase the duration. Maybe 15 minutes isn't going to cut it anymore. And you'll have to work with the Lord to see what He wants you to do. But I just want to encourage you that whatever you know to do, do it. These are not days to be hearing things from the Lord or thinking, listen, good intentions aren't enough. In the kingdom, good intentions, that's a start, but it's not enough. When we know something of God, we have to act upon it. Because truthfully, let's just cut right to the chase here. If we're knowing something and not doing it, it becomes a sin. It's then disobedience. When we know something and we don't do it and act upon it. And so why would God be calling us to these things? He calls us because He loves us. Because He's a good Father. Because He knows what we need. Because He knows what's ahead of it. Sometimes you're praying in tongues can help you avoid things. I remember one time a friend of mine called me, and she had been on her way to work and had almost gotten in an accident. And it was very supernatural how she did not get in an accident. The car in front of her got in an accident with other cars, and the car behind her was involved in the accident. And it was like she was supernaturally protected. And she said that morning before she had left for work, she felt to stay home and spend a few extra minutes in tongues. She said, at the time, I didn't know why. I didn't really know what. But I knew. Thank God that she knew and acted upon what she knew, because she, the very moment that the accident happened and she was protected, she knew in her spirit, that was what your tongues did this morning. It's time to step it up in praying in tongues. There are things for us in the Spirit. We're going to have to get them. They're supernatural. Our mind hasn't conceived them yet. They're going to come from the Spirit. Maybe our faith is not secure enough. Maybe our faith is not big enough yet to lay hold of something that God has for us. It might even be something you've been praying about, something you've been desiring, something you know that you need. Listen, it's faith that accesses things. It's faith that lays hold of what Jesus has already obtained for us and pulls it out of the heavenly realm or the spiritual realm into the reality of our life. It's faith that does that. And that's why praying in tongues is important, because it builds our faith. Amen? So let's get started here. I don't know how far I'll get. Probably not very far, but we'll just get started. We are talking about God, of course, in the form of fire. The Bible says that God is an all-consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. And I'm so thankful that God, the fire of God now lives in us. You know, in the Old Testament, God was always in the fire. And the showing up of the fire represented God. It represented His presence. It represented His power. It told the people that God was on the scene. We see that God showed up. He showed His presence and His power to Moses and the Israelites on Mount Sinai when He appeared as a great, mighty display of fire. I mean, the mountain was trembling. I mean, things were happening under this great fire of God. We see that God showed us His presence and His power as the all-consuming fire on the altar. With Elijah and the Israelites and the false prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. God has always been in the fire. Then we saw a couple weeks ago that God actually supernaturally out of heaven sent the fire and supernaturally lit the altar in the tabernacle of meeting in Leviticus chapter 9. Now this fire that came from heaven was a representation to the people. It represented their relationship with God. It was a reminder to them of the reality of God's presence and His power in their lives. Even though not like for us today, God did have a relationship. He had a relationship with His people in the Old Testament, and fire was one of the ways that He revealed Himself. And then He told the priests in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, He told them that the fire that was lit on that altar was to be kept burning. That fire was to be continual. They were to never let it go out. It was to be a perpetual fire that remained. Then I'm just recapping here. I guess I'll recap so that next week we can recap again. But then we know next Jesus came out of heaven. And this Jesus, when He came with the fire of God, it wasn't an outward manifestation, but it was the fire of God within Him and the fire of God upon Him. Then we know that by the finished work of the cross, through Jesus' death and His resurrection, the fire that was now in and upon Jesus was now given by God to people through the Holy Spirit. Everybody raise your hands. Thank God for the fire of God through the Holy Spirit. As the Spirit was poured out from heaven, the Bible says that there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire that sat upon their heads. And at that very moment, a supernatural fire was lit by God inside those people, inside of those believers at that moment. And listen, when that holy fire came, because these were people that were coming out of the Old Testament into the New Testament, they knew what that fire meant. I mean, when they got lit up on the inside of them, they knew all of a sudden God was here. God was present. His presence is here. His power is here. It represents to me that God is with me, upon me, in me, continually. Forever. It was significant to them. They'd been lit by the fire of God. And now we know that today the fire of God still comes. Hallelujah. It's still a supernatural fire. It comes now again, not outwardly visible, but inwardly evident. Come on, when you meet somebody who's been touched by the fire, when you meet somebody that's been lit up by the fire of God, it's evident. Amen. It still happens today. We're lit up by God Himself on the inside. This is a holy fire. This is a supernatural fire. This is a fire that God gave out of heaven knowing that we needed the fire. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. The fire in us is brought by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. There is a work of the Spirit inside every believer. Now, the Bible uses various symbols to depict that work of the Holy Spirit, okay? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 3. One of those symbols we know is fire. So let's look at this very quickly. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Now, this is John the Baptist, who was foretelling of Jesus coming. And he was saying, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you. Now, let me stop there a minute. Baptize means to totally submerge. It's not like a sprinkle. Everybody listen to this. It didn't say Jesus was going to sprinkle. Just put a little of the Holy Spirit on you. No, it said he was going to baptize. It means he was going to dunk you under. It means he was going to put you under, totally immerse you. And he said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I've always loved that. That in the foretelling, it was distinct enough to say, you need to understand that it's the Holy Spirit and fire. I mean, we need to expect fire. We need to love the fire. We need to want the fire. Because that's what Jesus came for, was to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So first of all, this is depicting what the work of the Spirit by the fire is going to do in us and for us. It's going to clean us. Look, he will thoroughly clean out. The fire in us is what cleans us out. It's what cleans us up. It's what calls us to a holy life. I mean, it's a supernatural thing on the inside of you that's not content with things that don't line up with God. The fire in us is not content for the things that are outside of kingdom living. It wants to clean us up, cleanse us. Then it goes on to say that he's going to gather the wheat in the barn. This is talking about a separation. Come on, when you really get to living with God and you get to living with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be okay living with unholy people. You're not going to be okay hanging out with people that are talking bad, telling ugly jokes. That's not going to be okay with you. We're called to separate from the world. We go into the world to preach the kingdom, to show Jesus, but we don't live with them. We don't eat with them. We don't fellowship with them. This includes natural family. Amen. It's the fire in us that causes us to be separated. And it causes us to get rid of what is not good and what is not God. It says that it burns up the chaff. Any of you ever realize you need stuff in you that needs to be burned up?
Amen.
This is a reality. I'm talking about a real fire that can get inside you and burn up things. I'm talking about unholy desires disappearing.
Amen.
That can happen. But also, not only can just the unholy desires disappear, but there can come a holy fire in you that causes you that every time the temptation comes, you're just like, I'm not really interested in that.
Amen.
That fire is big enough and strong enough, which it says that it's an unquenchable fire. So what that means is that as far as talking about the real fire that is from God himself, there's nothing that can quench that fire. There's nothing that can stand against that fire. There's nothing that can resist that fire. You need to understand that in your life.
Amen.
Come on, when we got things we're dealing with, we need to stop coming up with the excuse that it's just me or I just can't help it or I can't get rid. No, there is an unquenchable fire. There is a fire, and in the fire is going to win. If you will submit to the fire, if you will yield to the fire, if you will let the fire have its work, If you will, maybe next time we'll finally get to talk about how we're going to fuel the fire. Make your fire hotter. Make your fire brighter. If you'll turn up the intensity of your fire, maybe that was the point tonight. Thank you, Lord. I just heard the Lord say that. He said that's part of the call for your tongues. I want to say here, right here tonight, by the Spirit of the Lord, you're praying in tongues more in this season is connected to the fire of God. And if you will pray in tongues more, you will see the intensity of the fire increase. And you will see things that have bothered you and things that have you've struggled with and, no more. It's an unquenchable fire. I declare the fire wins. The fire in your life wins. Every addiction goes. Come on, everything that's contrary to God absolutely falls away. It disappears. It has no power over you because the fire is at work in you. The fire is living in you. This fire that John the Baptist was foretelling that Jesus was going to baptize us in, it's a purifier. It's a refiner. Have you recognized that your life still needs to be refined? Hey, even when we go for a while and things are looking pretty good, then something happens and we get a little rough. Ooh, I got a little rough around the edges right there. Got to work that back out. Got to refine that. Got to get that back in the fire. So Jesus was going to baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. We know that the Holy Spirit is really power. The work of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The work of the Spirit in our life and this power is how we take on God's nature. 2 Peter, don't turn there, but 2 Peter says that it's by His divine power that we've been given. It's by His power that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. The way that we live godly is by the work of the power of God in us. The work of the fire of God in us purifies us, cleans us up, makes us holy, makes you uncomfortable when you get around something that's not right. It's that power that allows us to take on godliness, causes us to be partakers of the divine nature of God. It's by the Spirit. So we could say this, that a spiritual life is forged in the fire. If you want a strong spiritual life, you're going to have to understand the fire of God. Let me tell you what the fire represents. It represents the zeal and the refining power of God. The zeal, a passion, an eagerness, a fervency, an enthusiasm. Those words should describe you. It also means this. It also means a passionate commitment, an intense desire. It means to burn with zeal, having a deep commitment and an eager devotion. That ought to be your life, describing your life with God, your life for the Word, your life to be with God, to reflect God, to be in the church of God. All, when you think of that, it's like you have a fire for that. You have an eagerness for that. You're committed. You're passionate. No, nothing is going to get in my way of a life with God. No, nothing is going to stop me from going to church. No, nothing is going to make me not want to pray. No, nothing can do that because I'm passionate about God. And it's the fire that brings that. So if you don't have that, what does that tell you? It tells you that we have some work to do in the fire. Just think about a natural fire for a minute, right? You've been to lots of fires. Some fires are big. Some fires are small. Some fires are really hot. Some fires, not so much. There is a work of the Holy Spirit in the fire of God. And that fire of God will take care. It will keep us. It will keep us coming. It will keep us attentive. See, when we find things in our life that don't, our tendency is to usually blame something or someone. Lord, do I have to go there? Do I have to go there? Usually when we start feeling a little disinterested or not as like with church. We think it's church. Something's wrong at church. My season's up at church. The pastors are something. It's usually not that at all. I want to say something that's going to be very controversial to your flesh. Can I say it? It really doesn't matter because God's going to make me say it anyway. Is that we use those things as excuses, but that is never how God would take you out of anything. It is never how God would take you out of it. It's never how he would change your season. God would change your season by you being on fire. You being the brightest in the way, and you just know that it's your season. And it's time to move. God would never take your fire out to try to change your season. That's not how God does things. That's what our flesh does. Because we always want to put the responsibility somewhere else. You know, I used to come and could get started up in the messages, and now I just don't. I don't know what's happening. You know what's happened? Is your fire's gotten very dim. I knew that wouldn't get a lot of amens, but I want y'all to know I got a check mark in heaven. And I was like, can we not go there? No, we're going to go there. Okay, we're going to go there. So the fire represents zeal. So you got to check your zeal. If you're not having a lot of zeal for God and the things of God and the kingdom of God, then we're going to have to do a checkup on the fire of God in you. The other thing that the fire represents is it is the refining power. It's the part of God that is able the definition is to reduce to a pure state, to free from impurities, to purify and to polish. It's to free from anything that's coarse. That's what the fire does. Turn with me over to Titus chapter 2. I love this. This is a good scripture. You know, the fire that came with the Holy Spirit is just like the fire that was on the altar in the Old Testament. It's a supernatural fire. It comes from God himself. There's nobody natural and nothing natural in the world that can light you up on the inside and bring the fire except God himself. So the source of the fire from the Old Testament to us in the believers in the New Testament is the same. And I want to show you one of the purposes or the purpose of the New Testament fire. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, talking about Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own people, zealous for good works. The purpose of God saving us and bringing the fire in our lives is so that he can redeem us from every lawless deed and purify us for himself. With the fire, we are made his. With the fire, we are made God's people. With the fire, there's something in us, something upon us, something of God that separates us from other people. Now we're people of God. It's the fire that does that. And it's the fire that makes us zealous for good works. We ought to be zealous to do the work of the kingdom. I mean, we ought to be passionate about that, committed to that. There's never a time that we're not committed to the work of the Lord. I'm talking about in a real way. The fire makes us zealous for good works. I want to do good works. I want you to do good works. God wants you to do good works. And so along with the purpose of the fire also comes the same instructions that we got that the Old Testament people got, that the Levites got. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6. I want you to read it again so that you can see it. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. That same instruction comes to us, which is to keep the fire burning. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Now, this was the instruction of God about that supernatural fire on the altar. It says, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar and it shall never go out. Now, I pointed out a couple of weeks ago that here in these two scriptures, the Lord says it twice, that the fire is to be kept burning, that the fire cannot go out. Then actually, a little bit further down in verse 9, it also says the same thing. So three times. So I could say this, that this is triply important. According to the Lord, this is triply important for your life. It's to realize that there was an instruction given to not let the fire go out. You know, it was important in the Old Testament. This relationship between God and man really was, the fire represented that relationship between God and man. And so God was repeatedly saying to them, hey, don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. Because he knew that the natural tendency of people, natural people, is to get our eyes off of what's important. You know, all the stuff that comes at your life all the time trying to tell you is important. But God's telling us, no, there's something here that's important in representation of my relationship with you. Amen. I'm telling you there's something important here. I'm going to tell you three times. I'm going to tell you, don't let the fire go out. Keep the fire on the altar burning. Keep the fire in your life burning. This is the instruction of the Lord to us. It's the instruction still for today. So let's get over into the New Testament so you can see it. You want to see it? Turn me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The instruction to us, to you today, is still the same. To keep the fire burning. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Says, therefore, now you remember this is Paul speaking, but you do remember that the scriptures were written by inspiration of God, that they were God-breathed. So the Apostle Paul makes this statement, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I remind you to stir up the gift of God. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. This is my most favorite translation of this scripture out of the Amplified. It says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, to fan the flame and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. The instruction is still the same. Come on, we've been lit up. We've been given a supernatural fire. We've been given a fire that's from heaven, a fire that represents God, a fire that represents God's presence, a fire that represents God's power in our life. And God's just saying to us, hey, it's a gracious gift. Keep it burning. Stir it up. Come on, rekindle the ember. Come on, fan the flame. Come on, stir up the fire. Dake made this statement in the Dake Bible. It says this. It says, the gift within us is referred to as a fire, which if not frequently stirred up and more fuel added will go out. The word stir up in Greek actually means to kindle up the fire, to add fresh fuel to it. So here we see something. We see, and if we're really wanting to live in the fullness of God's presence and in the fullness of God's power, we're going to have to keep the fire burning. We're going to have to not let the fire get dim, not let the fire get weak, not let the fire get small. I mean, we're going to have to be consistently. Therefore, I remind you the initiative for keeping the fire burning is upon you. It's on the recipient. And it refers to every believer at all times. There's never a season where we're not to be stirring up the fire, stoking the fire, come on, fanning the flames. And this is why, in my opinion, many people do miss it. this holy thing, this living a spirit-filled life, this experiencing a supernatural life with God, because they think that God's supposed to fuel the fire. He's not. It never says that God is going to do anything with your fire. It tells you to do that. You have to stir up the fire. God has already done it. God has already done it all. He's given Jesus. He's given the Holy Spirit. You were lit up on the inside. I mean, something supernatural came from heaven, went right on the inside of you, turned you on to God, made you alive, fired you up. And now God's saying, you tend to it. It's that shoving the responsibility. We miss it because the way that you're going to, remember, our spiritual life is forged in the fire. The way that you're going to have a good, strong, healthy, holy, supernatural, divine life. You know how? You're going to have to stir up your fire. You're going to have to stir up the fire. Because the fire's already been given to you. God doesn't need to relight it. He doesn't have to do anything. He already did it. So first of all, we have to understand that it's our responsibility to light the fire, to keep the fire going. We don't have to light it. God lights it. Listen, how my spirit could be dead or asleep in the minute I believe in Jesus and say that prayer with my heart, that God brings my spirit to life, lights me up, brings a fire inside me. How that happens, that's God's part. But now the fire is mine and I have ownership of it. I'm the recipient of that fire of God. And I need to know that fire. I need to respect that fire. I need to understand what that fire does. We've talked about some of the things that fire does. You want to have a life where you're loving God, going after God. You look around at people and say, wow, you know, I pointed this out the other day. Mary Lou, I think she's been faithfully attending church service, Sundays, Wednesdays, women's meetings, prayer meetings for 40 years. Amen. How does she do that? Is she just special? Is that just something? No. She keeps her fire stirred up. Amen. We have a fire. We've got to know that fire is what turns us toward God. That fire is what makes us hot for God, passionate for God, seeking after God, going after God, which really, when it's all said and done, is what's most important. You do know, right? Come on. The trumpet is going to blow. The shout is going to happen. God is going to come. And what's going to count is how hot you were for God and Jesus. That's what's going to count. So God doesn't keep the fire lit. He doesn't do it for us. And really, others can't do it for us either. Now, we do have each other that we can, you know, iron sharpen iron, and we can kind of come alongside. There's a scripture, don't turn there. Isaiah 54:16, behold, I've created the blacksmith, the preachers, who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. So as preachers, come on, hopefully tonight I'm blowing on your fire. But if I blow, and you're not doing anything, it's not enough. We're going to have to keep the fire running. We're going to have our own spiritual thrust with God. And that's going to come from having a life in the Holy Spirit. Our spiritual life is forged in the fire, and it's our fire. It's my fire. I have responsibility for it. I'm never going to fall into the trap of thinking that anybody, because God has given us fire, and he's given us all the tools and everything of his life and his kingdom to keep us burning hot. Praise the Lord. It's all true, Pastor said. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So sometime soon, we're going to talk about burning the fire, making the fire burn, keeping the fire burning. Javon, I left you on another cliffhanger. I didn't even get to the cliffhanger. We're going to go some things past the things that we know, past the praying in tongues and the reading our word, and we're going to go into some really deeper things that I would call them catalyst for your fire. You know how you have a fire, and when you see a fire, sometimes there's a lot of little bitty sticks. And what happens when you have a lot of little sticks? You know, the fire burns pretty quick and you're trying to constantly throw something. But then when you have a fire that has kind of like the main logs, the main pieces of wood, so that's what these things are. There's going to be two of them that I'm going to talk about, unless the Lord expands it, makes me go further. But two of them. And if you'll keep these things in your fire, if you'll keep these things, you'll keep adding these, if you'll keep working these, and then what happens is it makes the adding of the other things, the reading of your word and the praying with God and the worshiping and all the other things, they get added on, and really they come easier if you can keep the two catalysts or the two stimulators of the fire burning. So that's what we're going to talk about. Who knows when? Maybe next week if the Lord lets me. Hallelujah. But you do have a fire. And if nothing else, I want you to walk out of here going tonight, Lord, I got a fire. I know I got a fire. And I heard tonight, man, it's my responsibility. I love the word responsibility. Let me throw this in there. I love the word responsibility because with God, it means partnership. So when I hear the word responsibility, it's not like a natural term where I'm thinking, oh, now I'm responsible for the weight of it. No. The responsibility means that it's about my partnership with God. Because we're all doing this with God. So God would never ask us to do something that's a burden to us. Remember? His yoke is easy. Come on, his burden is light. You're not putting it's easy. Once, if we'll really value the fire, if we'll value what's in the fire, there's more in the fire. More, the more stuff that we talked about last week, a lot of it's in the fire. We're going to get that as we're in the fire, it's going to come. So if we'll value that fire enough to say, man, I'm going to stir it up. If I don't know anything else tonight, I know I got a fire. Tonight, I know it's my responsibility in me partnering with God to keep it lit, to make it burn right. And then I know this. I do know that part of the fire is tongues. And I already heard tonight that by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit said that I was going to step up. I needed to step up in my speaking in tongues because there's things that's going to come through that. You mark my words. When I say something like this from the Spirit of God, I know that it's there. I know the reality of it. If you will do it, you will see the results. Absolutely. The church needs to know the truth and expect the proof. God will prove it. You try Him in this. You try Him in it. You say between now and the end of April, I'm going to really do something drastic and stepping up my tongue, and you watch what happens. We might have to have testimony night just from the stepping up of tongues, because it's going to fuel your fire. It's going to cause things to happen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.